All violence is self-hate. Let me repeat. All violence is self-hate. Upon arousing Kundalini in 1971, that flash was the first insight I had, the first thing that popped into my head. I'm J.J. Semple, and this is the Kundalini Consortium podcast, where we address energy cultivation techniques, Kundalini, and other human potential subjects. I wondered why. It wasn't specific to what was happening to me, the energy explosion that was taking over my being. I don't know where it came from, but there it was, fully formed in the front of my mind. I knew it was meaningful, so I filtered this thought against the acts of violence in my life, as well as other well-known historic acts of a violent nature. I thought about Adolf Hitler, deciding he must have had a deep-seated self-hate due to his failure as an artist. Other incidents I passed through the self-hate filter also rang true. But why violence against others? I wondered. I concluded that most people are too afraid to inflict violence on themselves. Suicide, although it's always an option, is a radical solution. Sure, there's always drug addiction, alcoholism, and other slow means of suicide, but these are preferred by those who are overburdened by the pace and indifference of modern life. Those with stronger personalities sublimate their self-hate, using it as motivation to inflict pain on others. Everything from spreading hateful rumors to torturing animals and/or other human beings. Instead of harming their own persons, these individuals inflict the violence on the other, choosing to harm a surrogate instead. The more self-hate in the world, the more some people internalize their grievances, the more mindless violent incidents. As time went on, I figured out why activating Kundalini had served up this insight. Because of my active Kundalini, I no longer felt cut off, worthless, or isolated. Kundalini gave me an instant realization that I was part of an energy continuum, a drop in an ocean of consciousness. I had no reason to hate myself because of my failure or for any other reason. I had only to let Kundalini re-engineer my physical body, guide me towards ever more insights on what to pursue and what to avoid, and ultimately bless me with a greater awareness of the whole I was a part of. No demands on achieving or competing. As long as I could extract myself from getting carried away, and by that I mean staying in the moment or being mindful, I would find my proper place in the material world. The second commandment that came to me, trust the emerging metaphysical energy that was now fully implanted within me. It's okay to have one foot in each of two worlds, the physical and the metaphysical. Kundalini is benign. It's our human nature that isn't. Yes, at birth our nature is mostly pure, but along the way, we lose touch with the consciousness that connects us. We feel isolated and alone, lost and bewildered. We know there is something out there, but how to attain it. If we have strong personalities and things don't go our way, we become resentful, likely to hate ourselves, sublimate our self-loathing, and take it out on others. If you submit, Kundalini changes your consciousness, which changes your nature for the better. You lose the nagging feeling that you're missing something, that someone else has it better than you. You accept yourself as you are. By availing yourself of this latent biological energy, you are able to take an active role in your spiritual realignment. Why struggle to change your nature using methods such as reading philosophy, undergoing psychoanalysis, or extensive faith-based prayer? Methods that are not only difficult, but also have a high failure rate, when instead you can enlist the aid of your body's primal energy source, Kundalini. Thank you for listening to the Kundalini Consortium podcast. For more on Kundalini and energy cultivation techniques, visit our websites, kundaliniconsortium.org, commonsensekundalini.com, goldenflowermeditation.com, and finally, www.lifeforcebooks.com. I'm J.J. Semple.